a good breakfast downstairs with the young adult class, and we're so glad they're doing good and seeing those young folks down there. It's just a blessing to see that. That's they've got a good future if they'll just listen to the Lord, and and we have too if they'll listen to the Lord. We're glad you're with us this morning, like I said, and pray for us and join us in the worship. You know, it's not listening to me and letting me have the podium. It's a worship service. It's a worship service, just like we said, the song service there, like the blessing from that song, you know, Beulah Land, and these things it's a joint effort to worship God, and that's what it is. But this morning we're in the book of Ezra. It's our journey through the Bible. We're in Ezra this week, and this book, the first paragraph, the first sentence there is the same one that's in, it ends with Chronicles there. And so Ezra, you know, may have wrote both, but it's the exact words as you start into Ezra that ended in the 36th chapter of 2 Chronicles there. But this morning, I want to ask you a question. Do you want to feel the joy of your salvation again? Do you want to feel the joy of your salvation again? I don't know. You may be on cloud nine today. You may be walking so close to God, you can float in the air. That's great if you are. But I don't know. You may not be either, because... but if you do want to feel the joy of your salvation, well then, you need to listen to the book of Ezra this morning. Because Ezra, that's what it is. It's about giving people a second chance. It's about backsliding. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe everybody in here, including myself, we have backslid somewhere in our lifetime. Now, it might have been one time, 10 times, or 1,000 times. And it does happen. It happened right here. That's what the book of Ezra is about. Written in, we think, a prehistoric history here. Ancient history. But God had a reason for this. He wrote it for history, but He also wrote it that we could use it today. It goes right along with what we need today. That's what we need to bring out of the Old Testament. It's not just the old boring history that we think of it sometimes, but it's the lesson that we get, and that's what Ezra is about. It's about the people that were, as we ended Chronicles last week, they were captured by Babylon. The Babylonians took them captive, and they were slaves for 70 years. 70 years. And we're going to see what happened to them in those 70 years. And then when it was over with, they just did the same old doggone thing again sometimes. But God was still preserving them and still bringing them along. And He does us that way. So, you know, but backslidden people are as common as a summer rain. We all are. Like I said, I'd be surprised. You're a special one if you hadn't. But I'm looking at everybody out there, and I assume every one of you is in the same boat that I've been, that you've been there. And so it's as common as it is here, you know. And so, but restoring our fellowship with the Lord, that's what Ezra is about. Restoring our fellowship with the Lord. And God wants us to do that. But you know, we were created to worship Him. It's something in our genes. It's our makeup, where we want to worship something emotionally or spiritually that's greater than we are. Amen. It's just in us. You look back in history of all the races of people, every one of them worshiped something. It might have been the moon, it might have been some animal, it might have been a mountain, but they worshiped something because it's in us. We don't have to learn to do that. We don't have to read to do that. We know there's something greater than we are, and we're to worship it. A lot of times we get on the wrong track and we worship the wrong thing, and many, many people will have through the ages. But we're supposed to, because that's what we're made. We know that something's greater exists than we are. But now, without fellowship with the Lord, we're a lonely, lost individual. How did you feel? Now, I ask everybody, and probably everybody's been there, what did you feel like? What did you feel like when you were out of fellowship? You were lonely, you were lost, and you probably were miserable. Because that's what goes with it. is when you're not in fellowship. I know I was. I know that's the way when I've been, that's the way that it was. And so it is with everybody. But we're not fulfilling our inborn need when we're not in fellowship with God. You know, and so, amen. But we're replacing it. We're replacing our worship with God with maybe ourselves or with something else sometimes. And that's where these people here with Ezra did. They replaced it with something else when they knew not to do this. But the book of Ezra, like I said, it starts off right where 2 Chronicles ends. 2 Chronicles 36 and 22 is the same exact words as Ezra 1 and 1 is. It's the same exact words. So it's just a continuation there. But now, is Ezra here? He illustrates God's work with restoring a person's heart. Restoring. Now, I know Rex said that a while ago. Aren't you glad that God restores fellowship? Aren't you glad that God forgives? Aren't you glad that there is something when you do backslide that God has got a way for you to come back? Sure, that's right here in the book of Ezra. A whole nation backslid. A whole nation goes into captivity and they backslide. They get to enjoying their life in the Canaanite places. They don't even want to go back. Here is what happens to them. But, you know, but restoration, it can happen to an individual. It can happen to a city. It can happen to a church. It can even happen to a whole nation. And here was a whole nation with Israel that it could be restored. Sometimes a church needs to be restored. It needs to get back in fellowship with God. A church that's out of fellowship with God is not going to accomplish anything. They're not going to help the community. They're not going to have souls saved. They're not going to have any baptizings or nothing because they're not in fellowship with God here. But here the book of Ezra is in two parts. Chapters 1 through 6 is about Zerubbabel. And he was about him. And then Ezra is the last 7 through 10 chapters is about him. And both of these men led the captives out of Babylon and back to Jerusalem. Now Zerubbabel, he was a descendant of King David. And Ezra, he was a descendant of Aaron, is who he was a descendant of. But both of them, that was their duty, was Ezra. He was a priest, and he led them back, one of the groups back to Jerusalem, is what he did. And he gets so upset. He understands that they have rebelled. He even, in one place we'll get to it later, he pulls his hair out of his beard and his hair. He just disgusted with it. You know, I've seen it over and over here. But, you know, restoring us. What did the old David say in Psalms 51? He said, restoring to me the joy of my salvation. Restoring to me the joy of my salvation. He was great. He said, cleanse me, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. David knew that he'd messed up. David was out of fellowship. He was miserable. You read Psalms 51 and you'll see what a miserable man was David. And he asked God to come into it. You know, but we don't have to have Satan. We say, you know, Satan made me do it or whatever. You know, we don't have to have Satan to cause us to sin. There was a little boy and he hit his sister and he called her a bad name and he spit on her. Well, his mother came to him and she said, John, said the devil made you do that. He said, yes, the devil made me hit her, and he made me call her a bad name. But spitting on her was my idea. And so we don't have to have Satan to cause us to see it. We'll do it without him, or we'll do it with him, either one of them that we want to do here. But Ezra 1 and 1, it says that the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, the king of Persia. The Lord moved the heart. Why did you ever come back from backsliding? Let me ask you. When you were there, why did you come back? Somebody moved your heart, didn't they? And that was God. You got moved somewhere. You got touched. You got pricked to the heart. Somebody sung a song. Somebody prayed a prayer. Somebody testified. And God sent it to your heart and said, man, you straightened up. You're not in fellowship with me. And you know that you're not. Because you're not where you could be and would be. You know, we're free to make choices all we want, but we're not free to choose the consequences of them. That comes with it here. But you know, we're captives of our own prosperous life. That's what these people were. We're captives of our own prosperous life sometimes. Materialism is in control. Materialism. Now, just look at, you know, our society now. Most stores and most businesses, they open 7 days a week now. 7 days a week. The public wants it, and they spend money. And it's going to be done that way. But, you know, I thought many times for many years that employers opening and running their business on Sunday is one of the most disastrous and destructive things that's ever happened to the church and to the home. Now, that is not popular. People don't like it. They don't even want to talk about it. But you think back, the most destructive thing that split it up and made it so hard for people to do, those that right there. That right there. A family can't be together. A church can't be together. It's splitting it up. It was one of the biggest disasters that ever happened. And all of it was for profit, for the love of money. That was what it was. In Genesis 2, we forget this little verse here. The very first of the Bible, Genesis 2, 2 through 3. Genesis 2 through 3. And let's just remind ourselves of what God did here. He said, "And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made." We've forgotten about that, haven't we, sometimes? God said that from the very beginning. He sanctified it, and we don't even acknowledge it. I've been places in some of my family, he asked me, I was late for a reunion. And he said, "Well, just come anytime you can." And I said, "Well, I went to church first." And oh boy, he looked at me. He didn't even know it was Sunday. He didn't even know it was the Lord's Day. I could tell by looking at him. That's how far we've gotten. We don't even know it. We don't even think about it. He's a good old guy, but he knows nothing about religion. He doesn't know nothing about God. It's never been. How pitiful, and how it just shouldn't be that way that we've gotten. In 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, 6, in verse 10, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil," the love of it, "which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith." You know what erred mean? My Bible says being seduced. Being seduced after, have erred from the faith, been seduced from their faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's in the Bible there. And we need to be reminded sometimes of this. You know, in Babylon, the Jews right here. Now, let's look at them. Let's look at the lesson that God's telling us in Ezra. They began as slaves. They were captured by the Babylonians here. They soon became prosperous. Even as slaves, they were becoming prosperous. They were so prosperous that they lost their spiritual hunger and their sense of values. Even as slaves. Now, this is symbolic. But they lost their spiritual hunger. These people did. Do you think that we sometimes lose our spiritual hunger? Sure. When we're attacked on 9/11, everybody in the world wants to go to church, wants to pray for us. There's nothing illegal about saying it on television then. Please pray for our nation. No. When do we do it? It's when we're prosperous and things going well. We forget. Our spiritual hunger goes so weak that we don't have it. And our sense of values are gone there. God says, don't forget that. That's what the people did with Ezra here, right here. They had forgot it. They became so prosperous. They became lost to materialism. They had material goods. They were so attached to these material goods that they had that they didn't even want to go back to Jerusalem. When it opened up the opportunity, they didn't even want to go back. They wanted to stay where they had, even though they didn't enjoy freedom. Even though they didn't enjoy freedom. People, we need to look at that. Are we willing to give up our freedom just to have to have our goods? We're headed that way if we don't do something about it. He tells us in Matthew 16 and 26, he says, the Bible says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What will you gain if you lose your soul? Parents, if your child loses their soul, what have you gained? What have you given them? What have you bought them? What have we accomplished and bought in life if we lose our soul? That's what Jesus says here. What good is it going to do you? Joy is only temporary. Sorrow is only temporary. All that is important is eternal. Is eternal. Amen. But here, these people here were in this condition right here. And when the door opened, they didn't want to go here. But it wasn't all of them. Thank God. It wasn't all of them. As Leonard says, there's always a remnant left, Brother Leonard. Always a remnant. God doesn't let all of them get gone. There's always some guy stuck in a bunch there that's not with the crowd. But they wasn't all of them. They weren't happy with material things. And it said that the Spirit of God moved them. The Spirit of God moved in those people. What did Solomon, old King Solomon, say after all of his riches there in Ecclesiastes, the second chapter? He said, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. All of it is vanity and vexation of spirit. But here, when the Jews did, finally, God let them return. They finally repented enough to get gone. The first thing they did when they got back to Jerusalem, on the side of where the temple was, they built an altar. They built an altar in that place right there. You know what the symbol of an altar always means is ownership. Ownership. That's what an altar means. Whose ownership? Whose ownership? Somebody owns you. Somebody's bought you with a price. Somebody owns us greater than we are. That's what an altar it means here. It means sacrifice, worship, and praise it is given to us here in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. In 19th verse it says, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body and your spirit are God's. Now, you know, if you're backslidden this morning, you're still God's. He bought you with a price. He owns you. He owns your spirit. He owns your body. He's still yours. You are bought with a price here. These people with Ezra, the Jews, were bought with a price, and they were still God's, even though they had rebelled. He let them be in captivity for 70 years, and they come back, and then they're going to do the same thing again in a little while. Some of them are here. But they built an altar here. Some of them do, and on it. You know, but sometimes we need to just spend our time in prayer, just praising the Lord. Just praising the Lord. You know, sometimes we leave that off sometimes. We need to just praise Him sometimes. Sometimes when we're singing, and you can feel the Spirit, it's just praising Him. You don't have to worry about the words. You don't worry about others. It's praising God. We need to do that sometimes, you know, and we need to feel it. You know, I was thinking, you know, that this is some thoughts on our singing in a little bit, some personal thoughts I want to get into. Not that we do it or don't do it, but it's just something we need to remind. But, you know, I was thinking, you know, all of you need to try sometime to get up in front of 150 people or maybe more, and you're supposed to be enthusiastic, you're supposed to be excited, and you hadn't had a warm-up. Now, you know what a warm-up is? Just stuck up there. Every one of you needs to try it at least one time. One time. Now, what I'm getting at is the warm-up here. The warm-up. And that's why it's very important, our song service and the singing to God's praise. It's the warm-up. Now, we all at ball teams, all of you know what a ball team warm-up is. Sometimes you have an hour warm-up before you start the game there. You get a warm-up there. You know, we've got concerts. They have a warm-up group that comes in and gets you ready for the crowd there. You've got political candidates. They'll have speakers come in to warm you up before they get up there. We've even got horse races and auto races. They got a warm-up before you get in there. Now, I know church service and worship service is not the same thing as that, but also the music here. The music, the praising God to God's Word here is the warm-up. Yeah. It's the warm-up. It gets us in the spirit. It gets us in the mood here. And we need to enjoy it. We need to sing it. We need to encourage it. Young folks, open your mouth and sing God's praise. Quit being bashful. We can't hear you. God don't care what you sound like, but He wants you to sing. When I'm standing there and we're singing an old song that I know by heart, how does it feel? I close my eyes or I look at that cross right there and I can praise God because I know the words. I don't have to read them. I can sing it right there. We need to forget about being what somebody thinks about us. We're in God's house to please God. Amen. So open your mouth, young folks. Sing God's praise. If you love the Lord, let Him know it. And we need to encourage that and encourage everyone in our church. The Bible tells us, listen, it says sing to the Lord. It says sing for joy. It says sing praises. Sing of the righteousness. It says, I will sing with the Spirit. And it also says, is any merry? Let him sing. Congregational singing next to teaching the Bible is the most important feature of a service. The most important other than that. And we don't treat it that way many times. It's a gospel, glorious thing that He gives us to there. But a singing church is a well-attended church. People love good singing. Now, I guarantee you, if I took a poll, every doggone one of you would say yes to that. Amen. You like singing, good singing. Every one of you. Now, you may not say I like good preaching, but you like good singing. Now, I know you like that. And so, you will. And it's well attended because it's praising God, not showing us out, not individual talents, but it's God. As long as we leave Him as the center, then I'm not up here just to show you my talents or whatever, but I'm here to sing praises to my Lord. There's a difference. There's a difference in it right there. But a singing church and a teaching pulpit, that's what we want. That's what we need. That's what God expects, is a singing church and a teaching pulpit. And that's, we hope and pray that God will help us do that. You know, in the Bible, Moses sang, Myron sang, David sang. The Psalms were written to sing. Jesus and the 12 sang. Paul and Silas sang. The angels sang. And in heaven, everybody's going to sing. Amen. We're going to. But you know, there has never been a great revival that didn't have singing, that didn't have the power of singing. Never had a great revival without the power of some kind of singing that was in there. Sing a dead church to life, it says. Sing a dead church to life. Amen. You know, but we need to stress that. Not that we don't do it. Like I said, some things we do and we don't, whatever. We just need to remind ourselves, just like Genesis 2 and 2. We know those verses. We've heard it. But we need to remind ourselves so we won't forget it. The Bible tells us over hundreds of times some things, and we know it. But He tells us again, and He tells us again, and He tells us again. He says, well, you won't forget it there. But hey, man, move quickly. Move quickly from our Sunday school where we can sing. You know, don't waste time. Help Jason out that we move along there. Get our singing going as much as we can, singing, you know, as quickly with it and be prepared to sing and these kind of things. You know, continuous singing without interruptions. You know, people love good singing. You know, I like to try new ones too, but also those good old hymns. You can't beat those good old hymns that stood for years and years and years and years that we have. Hey, man, you know, we need to sing that, but always, always leave time for God's Word. Always there's a time and a place for all things, and God tells us that. He says to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. But us don't let the time factor drive the spirit away. Us don't let the time factor drive our spirit away. It's drove mine away a lot of times, and I'm sure it has you. If you feel pressured or you feel time is running out, you let the Spirit slip right out the door. Not that you mean to, but it does. It will. We're human. And it goes there. But us don't let that happen to us with any of it. You know, memorize the hymns. We hadn't stressed that enough to memorize them because it gives us a deeper feeling. How do you feel on the ones that you know by heart? You close your eyes and you feel like I was talking about, don't you? You don't have to look at the page because you're just talking to God. Because the words are there. You know that. And that's why they're so wonderful there. You know, we need to train our children to memorize it. We don't do enough of that. No, in school or nowhere. It's to memorize it. This will give them a lasting religious education. That'll tie them to the church. That'll tie them to the church. You know, the churches that are the 4-0 and the old book singing. What ties all of those churches together? It's the singing. You know that. It's the singing ties them all together. But we need to teach their children so that they'll love that in the spiritual. Don't let that get away. Don't let it drift from us here. The power of the singing for a service, what it can do here. But hey, man, on that, I got off on the singing just on my mind this week with it. But here, also about Ezra here, about just giving God our best here. But here, Ezra, he granted, it tells us, everything that Ezra prayed for. And he led the second exit. He led it back to Jerusalem here. And the temple was finally built. But then after they got there, in the 9th chapter, Ezra sits down and he starts to pull the hair out of his beard and his hair. He's so frustrated because the people are doing some of the same stuff that they did before. They're marrying Canaanite women. They're having children because God said, do not have relations with those people. Because they were false gods. They brought them into their homes. And they were corrupting them. They were not worshiping God. And here they were doing it again. After 70 years of captivity, the flesh never changes, does it? Flesh never changes. No matter how long we're in the Spirit, no matter how long we walk the road, no matter how long we're an old Christian, we never get to the place where we cannot go back and revert to our worst spiritual condition. Remember that. No matter how long we've been in it, that doesn't mean that we can't go back and revert to where we were in the worst condition we were ever in. Because here these people did. After 70 years, they go back to where they were at. And Ezra just pulls his hair out. He said, I just can't believe it here that this is happening here. You know, but all it takes, and God's reminding us that about Ezra, is a little inattention. A little inattention, a little straying, a little departure from God's Word. Don't let that happen. He's warning us. Right here, this people here, God is warning us. Don't let a little straying get in your life, in your home. Don't let a little inattention to God come in. Because this is what's going to happen. It's happened over and over and over. I could just name over and over and over that has happened to people. They didn't mean to, but it did here. You know, but we should be like over Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah and Esther sort of go together. But in Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 10, we should be like those people. Ezra comes on the scene there. And he comes up and he builds a platform and he gets the Word of God and he opens it and he starts reading to them the law. And he says he reads from morning till noon. Now that's a long time. That's more than an hour church service. You know, and he read all morning and the people stood. And it said they were so moved that they wept. That they wept, that they were touched so much by it. But then it says that Ezra didn't just read it. He had people that helped him explain it, that taught the people what it meant. Hey, man, a singing church and a teaching pulpit. That's what God wants us to have. That's what He leaves for us here. You know, but it'll change our lives. It'll make us weep. It'll make us want to send out portions to others like He told these people to do. Hey, man, and it'll give us our joy back. Our joy and our salvation. Amen. Be getting us a song. No, Carrie, can y'all sing Jesus Loves Me? Have y'all got all of you here, haven't you? Have you? Be coming on if y'all have while I finish it. I just thought that a while ago before I got up here that I'd like to hear y'all sing that for the invitation this morning. But as they get up here, I want to read this little psalm, Psalms 100. 100, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Amen. This morning, if you have backslid, maybe you're in that condition today. Don't stay that way. We have all been there at time or other. But God says, don't stay that way. He gives us another opportunity to come out of it, and we need to take it this morning. Don't go home in the same old shape that you came in if you need to move up closer to God. Listen to this beautiful song here. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves every single one of us. Favorite song in China of the children, they say, is Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves everybody that's in this house. I don't care who you are, Jesus loves you this morning. He gave His life for you. You don't worry about nobody else. He gave it for you. For you He died. And He's coming back again for you. He owns you. He owns your spirit. He owns your body. He paid a price for it. Do you need to move back closer to Him this morning? God help you. God bless. Stand up, please. Thank you.
come today, God, as humble as we know how. God, I'm homesick for heaven, and I love this place that I live. I love my family, I love my church, God. And we know, God, one day you'll say, it's time for us to go home. And God, help everyone that is here today to be sure they know where they're going. The most important decision in your life that will help you while you're on this earth is to live a peaceful Christian life, God. Something that can be founded on and know that it's for real. So God, today as we come as a church, we're not perfect, God, but we know, God, that we fail. But God, give us that love in our heart, God. Quicken us, God, so that we can show the spirits, God. And we are so thankful for that today, God. For those that are afflicted in body, for those that have been sick, for those that are facing things in the next few weeks, God. Help them, God, to simply put your trust in thee, God. And today as we come, we thank you for this service. We thank you for the Sunday school hour, the singing, God. Thank you for the preaching service. Most of all, God, we thank you for placing that love in our heart for our brothers and sisters. Thank you, God, that we can fellowship together, God, in peace. Help us to love, and most of all, these young people that are coming up, God. Help them to realize that the devil is going to throw everything that they can at them, God. Try to tear them down. And his brother Steve preached today, God, we have to return to Jesus Christ. We have to go back to that foundation, God, that you established here on this earth, God. And Jesus is that foundation. What peace and love he showed. What compassion he showed to us, God. We thank you again today, God, for this service. And thank you, God, that we have love for one another. And I pray, God, please forgive me of my sins, God. Help me to love more. Help me to forgive my neighbor, my friends, God, if they trespass against me. Help us, God, to have that peace and love that we can show each other today, God. And God, go with us. And again, God, we thank you for this service that you've given us today, God. Thank you again for the singing. And God, bless those people that have the ability to sing. Give them an urge, God, to sing unto the praises of your great and holy name. These favors we beg in thy name and for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen. Hey, beautiful sight. Amen.